You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. You know that every Tuesday is between 11, which is now, to 12, that's part 1. And every Wednesday is between 11 to 12, which is part 2. So every Tuesdays and Wednesdays, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. My beloved Fadilatul Ustad is Hazrat Alamatul Fadilatul Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. I want to welcome all our beloved warm-hearted listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And I want to welcome my engineer, of course, my beloved engineer brother Lokolo. And let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Subhanallah. But you know, our WhatsApp number is 0847863132, 0847863132. To the international overseas listeners, +27847863132. That is +27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on the Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat, jazakallahu khairan.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, say if a husband does not stay at home and the husband does not give her the right of her intimacy, what's the masla on that, Ustad?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, today is the 6th of Shaban, 1441. And remember, husband-wife relationship, Almighty Allah has spoken of it in various verses in the Noble Quran. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That they, the wives, they are the garments for you. And you, the husbands, you are the clothing for them. Meaning you need to be together. And remember that when you are together as far as possible, then there will be unity of thought. You will conquer so many things together because now you have one common idea, one common goal, and you will go through the vicissitudes and the differences that in life together also duk and suk. So that is at times of prosperity, at time of adversity. Next one, remember that for the husband to go away long periods and he deprives his wife of her conjugal rights, that definitely is not permissible. Therefore, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, he inquired from his beloved daughter, Sayyida Hafsa radiallahu anha, and she said 4 months, and he made it a rule. Even the army would not go out for more than 4 months because of this reason here. So similarly, we will say the ideal is that every week he should come home, or every second, third day, or every month, depending how far, how near he is. But remember, the best is the husband and wife should live together, and that is what Islam is teaching. And the more distant you are, then people get up to mischief. So many a time that the husband will get a mistress or get a wife in that country or that place, and the first wife does not know about it. Or the wife, because she's frustrated, what have you, she will get busy on the phone and on the chat line and so many things. Obviously, we all know that these type of things are haram, but we need to go to the root cause as well and see why all these things happened.
Somebody says, when is a man being stingy, Ustad, towards his wife and children according to Islamic teachings? Some people think that I'm doing what is obligatory and others think that I am somewhat miserly, Ustad.
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala used the word ma'roof. Wa alal mauludi lahu kiswatuhunna. That Quran Kareem states that you must spend on them, that is, the wives and the children, bil ma'roof. Wa ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Surah 4, verse 19. And that is according to the norm of that town, of that place, of that country. And likewise, Almighty Allah used the word wa alal mauludi lahu rizquhunna wa kiswatuhunna bil ma'roof. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 233. So there Almighty Allah has mentioned upon you, the father, the husband, you must spend on your wife or wives or children, remember, according the risk, that is, you give them shelter, food, clothing, all these type of things, according to ma'roof. So you don't have to worry about people. Remember, you know that according to your means. Islam did not say this amount, because amount can differ from country to country, but according to the norm of that place, according to the tradition of that country. So that is what is meant. And it is your wife after all, so if you gave a little bit extra, you should not have any remorse or regret. She made the great sacrifice. She left her parents, she left her place of birth, she left her siblings to spend the remainder of her life with you. So therefore, you should be grateful that that is your wife. And now she's fulfilling 5-6 portfolios. See today that the men, they must help the wives. That you ask any lady nowadays, Muslim lady especially, they will say there's no maids at home. So when there's no maids, so now what must we do as husbands? We can't just be sleeping and dreaming and watching TV and all that. That's unacceptable and not permissible. So we must become active in the house, that help with the house chores, help with the children, help with the washing. So many things we can do if we really want to do. But if we don't want to do, agar tu hi na chahe to bahane hazar, then we will have thousand excuses. So that is what we should be trying to do, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, I would like to remain anonymous. It says that my hubby's beard is almost reaching his navel, Ustad. Please advise him that this is not sunnat. He's listening to your show right now, Ustad.
Obviously, you're exaggerating. It won't be reaching his navel, meaning that it's long.
Mm-hmm.
So you must remember to keep long beard is very good. And remember, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria, Nawar Allah Barakadahu. Today we heard that Maulana Yusuf Tutla, Rahimahullah, who was a senior Khalifa of Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Barakadahu, passed away. Allah grant him also Jannatul Firdaus. So nevertheless, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria wrote a kitab, Hujubu I'fa il-lihya, that to lengthen the beard is compulsory. However, in Islam, everything is done, we fulfill our duty with beauty. It don't mean that you keep on growing, and then it comes where halfway to your navel or something. So it means that it must be a first length, so excluding the chin. And thereafter, you can trim it and so forth. You must remember, and Abdullah ibn Umar, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, so many Sahaba, they would do so. So therefore, we fulfill our duty with beauty. So that is what your husband should do. It don't mean you keep on growing, and then remember, it becomes difficult to even touch the wife, or the wife to touch you, and so forth and so on.
Somebody wants to know, can I wake my hubby for tahajjud namaz, Ustad? Can we read together?
Remember that you can't make in Jamaat. According to Hanafis, Nafil Salat you can't make in Jamaat. So it's very good. Nowadays you must remember, it is locked down, there's no shop, there's no job. So if you wake up 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and you tell your husband, come, let us turn more and more to Almighty Allah. There are so many problems regarding income, regarding the debts, regarding the children, regarding the maids, regarding our country, regarding the economy. So if you just keep on counting, a person will see there are so many negatives. But it is our yakin, our conviction, Almighty Allah in a split second can change everything from undesirable to desirable. And the best time to make dua and cry to Allah is tahajjud time. See two ahadith. When is the servant the nearest to Almighty Allah? أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّي وَوَسَاجِدُونَ The nearest the slave, the servant comes to Almighty Allah is when the servant وَوَسَاجِدُونَ in sajda. So out of salat also, you cry, you speak, you petition Almighty Allah, and you beg Almighty Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى for your needs. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى So an act of complete submission, surrender to Almighty Allah to display our love for Almighty Allah. The hadith authentic, remember, in Muslim Sharif. When is Almighty Allah's mercy the nearest to us? أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ رَبُّ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ The nearest, the mercy of Almighty Allah جَلَّ وَلَا is to the servant فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ In the latter portion of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. So at that time, Allah's special mercy descends. So it's a win-win situation. You read 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6, 8 rakat. And if you got qada, salat, read qada. And beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and see how many things will change in your life for the better. Allah give us tawfiq.
Usa sister Naila from Lozimbizi wants to know, she says that Mufti Sahab, sorry if this is not a bliss of marriage question, but why is it punishable by death for a Muslim to leave Islam, but not the other way around? Why is it so bad to be murtad, Ustad?
Remember, when Almighty Allah gave you the best, you were born in a Muslim home or you embrace Islam. So now that person is leaving the best and then chooses something else, and then there's eternal condemnation, eternal hellfire. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala wants to save human being, that you've got the best, I gave you the best, so why are you leaving the best? So the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Man baddala deenahu faqtulu. That whosoever changes religion, meaning you leave Islam and you choose any other ism, any other cult, faith or religion, so it will not be accepted and the death penalty will apply. And Almighty Allah has made this very clear in the noble Quran. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ Whosoever searches and seeks another religion besides Islam, it will never be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And he will be in the year after, remember, from the losers, eternal losers. Chapter number 3, verse number 85. You need to ask yourself, Sister Naila, this question. You will find many governments, they have the death penalty for treason. That now you spoke against the state, you gave the classified information to the enemy, you did this, they do that, they call it treason. So for treason, they say death penalty. So in Islam, you must remember to become a murtad, aliyazu billah, Allah protect us. So remember, that is why Islam gave you the best, Allah gave you the best. So why are you leaving Islam? So therefore, it is a deterrent and it wants everybody to be loyal to Islam and to be appreciate the bounties and favors of Allah. Therefore, we always advise you, read Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 8. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً O Almighty Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated. After you gave us this guidance, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً O Almighty Allah, envelope us in your mercy and grant us more and more of your mercy. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ Verily, you are the best of givers, Ya Allah. Chapter 3, Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 8.
Ustad, a sister wants to know, can she tell her husband that she wants her husband to look like handsome like this actor, example? And she says, can my husband wear color contact lenses to make his eyes green? It is brown at the moment, Ustad.
All this is haram because the minds of the Muslim are totally polluted and tainted. So the name will be Maryam, but she will think like Mary. And the name will be Bilal, and he will think like Billy. So now look at both these questions. You must dress, you must look like that person, the actor. So what is the actor? Actor, 90% of them, they're committing zina, fornication, adultery. Some of them gay, drinking alcohol, wine, dine, swine. That is the life of entertainment and movies and so forth. Now you telling your husband that you should mimic and look like that. So you must remember, why did you not tell him to imitate and look like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You see the weakness of the iman. You see how we think the West is the best or white is right and so forth. So that shows that we are suffering from an inferiority complex. And when we imitate other people, tomorrow you will wake up with those people. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's two ahadith. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum. Who imitates a people becomes part and parcel of them, is authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. Second hadith, even in Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, a person will be with whom he loves. Now you say he must look like Bollywood, Hollywood, so tomorrow he all will wake up with a kuffar. Is that what you want? So think seriously. So it shows how weak our iman has become. Secondly, regarding the contact lenses, all this is not permissible. Allah gave you brown eyes, Allah gave you grey eyes, Allah gave you this color. So no, must be green. So remember, man ghashana falaysa minna, that whosoever deceives us is not of us. You see, when the shaitan was expelled and kicked out from Jannah, in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119, so various oaths he took. One oath he took, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ, I will command them, human beings, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, they must change the creation of Allah. So look at the greater picture. Ya Allah, you gave me brown eyes, you gave me grey eyes, you gave me this. Me, I don't like it. I'm not happy. So therefore, I will change it. So I can't change it just like that. So I'll wear different color contact lenses. So see the deception, see the nashukri, the ungratefulness, unthankfulness, all these issues, they are compounded. So therefore, it is not permissible. And remember, both of you need to start ta'aleem in your home and leave your Hollywood, Bollywood, and all the Robin Hood shaitanic business out. Then only will we come nearer and closer to Almighty Allah.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that it says, Mufti Sahab, my hubby goes to discos, then he comes home, he wears a kurta and makes namaz and reads Quran. I find this very odd. Is he possessed, Ustad?
Remember, there's nothing like possess. He's not reading his salat properly. And today, if you just analyze people's salat, you will see they just go up, down, kiss the ground, back to town, just going through the motions. Therefore, the Quranic principle and the promise of salat is mentioned. Inna salata tanaha anil fahshai wal munkar. Verily, the salat will prohibit and prevent that person from all obscenities and all haram things and haram places and all forms of injustice. So this Almighty Allah has mentioned in the Noble Quran in chapter 29, Surah An-Kabut, and verse number 45, right in the beginning of the 21st Jews, 21st Subara. So why people read Salat, yet go discos, yet go haram places, yet go Qawwali, yet go yeah? So remember, because that Salat is not being read properly. There's hardly any devotion, there's hardly any concentration. It's just to show people like the munafiqeen that we are here. Yura'un an-nasa wa la yadhkuruna Allah illa qalila. So they remember Almighty Allah very little, and just to show their face. When we read Salat, it is communication between us and Almighty Allah. Why is Salat called Salat? As-silatu bayn al-abdi wa rabbi. The link and the nexus and connection between people and Almighty Allah. So therefore, you need to tell him, start ta'aleem and so forth, and read Fazail of Salat and so forth from Hazrat Shaykh Kitab, Mawlana Zakariya, Nawwarallahu barakatuh, and then he will understand. Obviously, we all know the disco and what have you is haram. Likewise, the Quran Sharif, he's just reading, because maybe now he wants to read Taraweeh, but there's no wondering, pondering, understanding the message. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyaddabbaru ayati. Allah revealed this Quran not only for reading, but you must wonder, ponder, reflect in the message of it as well. So that is what he needs to do. He needs to contact ulama to teach him what is the real meaning of these verses of the Noble Quran.
Listener says, they say a woman's place is at home, Mufti Saab. Yet when we do that, Ustad, we get flack from our husbands. No work gets done at home if we go to work, Ustad.
You must remember whose day say. They say, remember, you must say, Allah says. Allah says that the place for women is at home. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Women, you must take glue to your homes. This is the commandment, Surah 33, verse 33, for the Azwaj Mutahharat, the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam. So what do we think? That law don't apply to us? Obviously it applies to us as well. So in Islam, the woman is the home affairs minister, and the husband is the affair of a minister of external affairs, foreign affairs. Everything outside you must do. Everything inside the wife must do. The problem is what, sister? Today you say you get flack from your husband. But how come when I go back 5 years, 10, 15 years, when that husband came to propose, then we did not ask him all these questions? That we just looked at his smart car, we looked at his smart bank balance, we looked at all the material things. So now, when you get married, the husband says, no, you'll have to work, you'll have to do this. Now there's children, then there's frustration, then there's tension, there's conflict, and now with lockdown, there's no maids, more conflict. So all these type of things go on because the starting point, the foundation itself was not a strong foundation. So from day one, you have to make it clear when that person comes to propose that this daughter of mine will not be working. She will work in the house and so forth. It's your responsibility. Our husband, you have to provide for everything. For a lady in Islam, from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, she is provided for. When she's born, her father must pay everything. When she's growing up, remember all that expenses upon the father. When she gets married, then upon the husband. So that is what Islam is teaching. Never did Islam say that the woman, the wife, the mother is the breadwinner. So we need to understand what Islam says. But because today we are caught up with two identities, we want to be a Westerner also, and we want to be a Muslim also. So therefore we find all this confusion in our minds, that that lady is working, that person is working, let me also go and work so I can keep up with the Jones, I can buy new furniture, new carpet, new gadgets. But remember, look at the harm of all. The children are neglected, the house is neglected, so many men want to take a chance with the lady because she can't go to work just like that. She has to wear a particular type of clothing and attire and so forth. So, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَةُ And that woman, when she emerges from her home with perfume, makeup, what have you, فَمَرَّتْ عَلَىٰ مَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا She passes this man and those men and so forth. فَيَا زَانِيَا She's an adulteress. These are words of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open Tirmidhi Sharif, authentic hadith. So therefore, we need to understand this whole scenario. Is the Western culture that are telling the women, go out, see today's world. They are saying in your politics, in your cabinet, and in your workplace, you must have equal number, male, female. Toilets also are mixed up today. You must remember, you go to the garages, filling stations, you will see one male, one female, another one, they will have a board of both. And that is, both genders can go in there. Because people are mixed up, they don't know whether they're Eve or Steve, you know. So therefore, they want to go for transgender. He was born male, he said, no, I want to become female. Female says, no, I want to become male. So all these satanic deeds and actions take place. So Almighty Allah has made all these type of things haram.
Somebody says, Ustad, that husband does not want to give talak, but he is unhappy. He says, yeah, I am married for 15 years, Ustad. I have two sons. Last year, my wife revealed to me that she made a mistake before marriage and committed fornication with a fellow student at university. She said it was only once, Ustad.
You must remember, in a case like that, now the husband is put off. Now, why did you go and reveal your secrets? You committed a vice, a senior crime, major crime, and remember that you have to pay, receive 100 lashes for that in a true Islamic country. Quran Kareem states, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِنُوَا مِيَتَ جَلْدَ So in a case like that, the husband feels betrayed and so forth. So now he don't want to give talaq because of of the children. But now he feels when he looks at you that you are not pure and chaste and so forth. So in a case like that, you must make sincere tawbah and repent and tell your husband if he forgives you, Allah will forgive him also. But if he doesn't want to, then he must release you. He can't be keeping you like that. And if he's going to assault you and hit you and all these type of things, or he's not going to maintain you, then you go to the ulama and you apply for a fasakh and annulment of marriage if he is really doing grave injustice to you. So that is, both parties should come to their senses. Either you look after your wife and forgive her, or either you release her, but you can't keep her like this, that you say you just stay there and then I got nothing to do with you and so forth. So we should be very, very careful about that.
29 minutes to 12, we're going to for an interval. When we come back, we will continue inshallah with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 084-786-3132. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, regarding this lockdown, and we know there's a lot of problems when it comes for Juma Salah, Juma Namaz. And I heard some people saying that you can't make Juma at home. You can't, because there's no Idh Ni'am. Could Ustad please explain this, Ustad, please?
Remember that regarding Jumma Salat at home, we gave you the verdict and ruling last week, and we told you that in my opinion the greatest ulama in South Africa passed the verdict, and we concur and agree with that. And remember that if there are four males minimum, so, and they are saying they are mature, obviously they must be Muslim, then one will be the imam and three will follow them. You give the adhan, you leave 5 minutes for sunnah, you render the second adhan, then the Arabic khutbah, two khutbah, then the iqama, and you read your two first salat, and thereafter the sunnahs. So remember, your Jummah salat will be totally valid. Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib Hafizullah, I spoke to him personally. I went there to Hazrat's house, and Hazrat said, fine. And Hazrat said, I can use his name. And similarly, I went to meet Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib of the Majlis. So Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib is the senior Ustad, Sheikhul Hadith, and Mufti of Darul Zakariya and of South Africa. And remember, Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai, senior Ali for past 50 years, mashallah. So they both agreed, and that, so any person rejects that, that's your choice. But we don't agree with you, and we don't accept that fatwa. Regarding the objection, some people say that there's no ithne'am. You need to understand that condition. Yes, we agree. In normal circumstances, Isna'am is this, that when we have a masjid, everybody has access, every male has access to that masjid. So that is what is meant by Isna'am. So they saying that if we are making, for example, here, in my garage, or in my outbuilding, or in my garden, so everybody does not have access to it. So therefore, they're suggesting to the people, they must read Zohar Salat. So you must remember that rationale and thinking is wrong. Who said there's no Isna'am? Did we say? No, the government said this. So you must remember, therefore you can't apply the laws that you are seeing in the jurisprudence books and say there's no Isna'am. The Isna'am is there, but the government took it away from us now. So that is why we will still say that Jumma Salat is still valid. I discussed this here with Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai and with Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib about the Isna'am issue as well. So therefore our ruling remains, and remember, you the men, you should be reading Jumma Salat in your homes, in your outbuildings, in your gardens, wherever you can get place, and minimum you must be four men who are sane, who are mature and Muslim. And I sent out to you the manner, method of Jumma, everything last week as well. So each one of us, remember again, today is the Tuesday, so just now will be Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday. So remember, we don't accept those type of fatawa and verdicts that say that people must read Zohar Salat. We stick and we comply with our fatawa, and we have the greatest ulama in South Africa. And remember, majority of the ulama accept their verdict. So therefore, that is our verdict on that issue.
Listener wants to know, Ustad, if you could please explain. We want to know that we've got so many kids, so many children at home, and especially now during this 21 days lockdown. We don't have our mates coming. What do we do, Ustad?
You must remember that shows how muhtaj and dependent we have become on the maids. So now when the maid is not there, now we lose our cool. We become really, you understand, tense and so forth. Husband frustrated, the wife is on the edge and so forth. So that teaches you a big lesson. A time will come with the labor laws that you won't be able to afford a maid and so forth once a week and so forth, like America, Canada. So we saw all this ourselves, that millionaires, they can hardly afford because the laws are such. So they have once a week, once in 2 weeks and so forth. So you need to become self-sufficient. So all the gadgets that you require washing machine and this machine and that machine and what have you. So you go and purchase it, mashallah. And so in that way there, remember, you can do the work yourself. Number two, you, the husband, you can't be sitting on your laurels and thinking of Adi the whole time and just watching movies and playing with your phone. You need to help your wife. You need to assist your children. And remember, become an asset to them and not a liability. Just breakfast, lunch, supper, everything, pakki pakai, everything must be ready. No, we must see and how the akhlaq of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should not Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have the azwaj mutahharat? Obviously, he is to assist them. So imitating, emulating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only in salat, not only in siyam and fasting or in namaz, and it's in the whole way of life. So we see Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would have the master alayhi salam, his honorable wives. Ya nisa an nabi lastunna ka hadim minan nisa. You are not like any other woman. You are the greatest of women. So imagine the greatest of the greatest, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, helping the greatest ladies, and that were his honorable wives. So that is our cue, that is our lesson we should be taking. So ask the darling, darling, what else must I do? What can I do? What can I help you? Inside the house, outside the house, and so forth. So that is how marriage is a partnership, not a dictatorship. That's a big, big mistake our Muslim husbands make today. Remember, I'm the Amir. Yes, you're the Amir, but you're not the Amir. Amir means you have much more responsibilities, and that is why you are the Amir. And remember, Amir, sit on your laurels and just dictate everything. So that is not what Islam teaches. Islam teaches, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. The person who is the leader, he's the Khadim. He must do much, much more. So we, the husband, generally, now when there's no maids, due to the lockdown 21, so we should be there to help and assist our wives. They are trying their best. One side is the cooking, one side is the cleaning, one side is the washing, one side is the children, one side this one make a mess. You got three daughters, so train them. Oh, beloved daughter Zainab, and then Umayma, and then Juwayriya, and whoever else you should be coming now. You prepare them, remember, for what? You must remember that tomorrow when they get married, they know how to run a house. They know how to cook. They know how to make a bed. They know how to shine. If you ask our daughters today, they can't even iron a shirt or a kurta properly. They'll burn it. So because they are spoiled. So this is why, this is the time. Necessity is the mother of invention. So teach them all these type of things now, and you will empower them with so many things. You take our daughters today, tell them to sew. They will just laugh. They can't even know how to put the cotton in a needle and so forth. So why? Because they just know, dial a samosa, dial a roti, dial ye, dial ye. So learn yourself how to do all these type of things. Then you have empowered them for the future as well. So this is a golden opportunity for the husband and wife that you unite. And then you look for strategies and ideas. How can we empower our children? Tomorrow that beloved daughter, that beloved son will become an asset to you. Tell that son, go cut the grass, the lawn and so forth. Don't sit on your laurels and play on the phone the whole time. Tell the son to go clean the whole outbuilding and so forth. So in that way, they must learn to get our hands dirty and full of dirt and so forth. Our pride doesn't allow us all these things today. That is the problem. If you speak openly, majority of our children, you put 100 Muslim boys and girls, 60, 70
90% are spoiled brats. That's what they are. Why? Because we have spoiled them to such an extent and they can do nothing. They only know how to phone, yeah, and so forth. Because they got money, they got time. No. In Islam, you must learn to do things yourself also.
Ustad, I see there's a youngster here, mashallah, 12 years old. He says that, Mufti Saab, I want to know, does lockdown, my mommy and daddy only forwarding messages the whole day, left, right, and center, and they don't even make time for we children to eat at home. Ustad, is this true, Ustad, this forwarding messages?
Yes, you must remember that the husband, you're my 12-year-old beta, and son, what is happening in your house, Maulana Arafat, is an import-export factory. What is import-export factory? That people are sending them messages and they sending out. So it's coming in, going out, coming in, going out. So you just found import-export factory going on there. Now look at it, so obsessed, so addicted to the phone, no time for the children and so forth. So what good is that phone? That kind of phone has become shaitan. One reason why Almighty Allah made alcohol and gambling haram is why? وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ السَّلَاةِ. It prevents you from remembering Almighty Allah. It prevents you from salat and namaz and so forth. Now yeah, time is going hours and hours and hours. I was sitting 1.5-2 hours now with the phone. But I must have answered over 100 questions. So if you do something like that, so that's very good. But the whole day panchat, send this message and all that, half the time fake messages and so forth. So you must remember absolutely haram it is. And then you're neglecting the children, and then you are neglecting their time, so you don't have time for your children. Tomorrow, Allah forbid, when their daughter comes with a parcel, suddenly she's pregnant, Allah forbid. Our son comes back and suddenly he is filled with drugs. So now we start crying, what went wrong? This was the time you needed to spend quality time with your children. Show them what is a father. Show them when is a mother. When last did you sit, oh father, with your daughter and have a heart-to-heart discussion? Oh mother, when last did you sit with your son and have a heart-to-heart discussion? Today we buy their love. We give them clothing. We give them CDs. We give them computers. We give them cell phones. We give them cars. All the C's we gave, the greatest C we deprived them, and that is ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The greatest gift the parents can give to their children is good character. Who's bothered about that? 90% are not even concerned. So remember, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. This is a wonderful time. Imagine your son, daughter comes, they kiss you on the hand, then they speak to you with respect and so forth. So that is how Islam is teaching. Today, because we neglected them, tomorrow when you grow old, they dump you in the old age home. So then you want to complain. But that is what you, how you brought up your children. So remember, it's not right what they're doing, but we need to look at ourselves, some introspection and some reflection as well is required. So therefore, oh father, mother, this is golden time to pick, to amend, make amends and address and redress this issue.
Somebody says, Mufti Saab, my husband wants to enforce all Islamic rules on me, but doesn't mind using my money. Double standards, Ustad.
100%, you must not give him 1 cent. You must remember, you take my name and tell him you heard on the radio, Mufti AK said, I don't have to give you 1 cent. You must give me everything. So you must give food, you must give shelter, you must give clothing, you must give medication, you must pay for all the children's expenses, everything. So to practice Islam selectively for their own agenda, that is munafiqeen. That is not what Islam is teaching. You're accepting some of the Quran and you reject some, or you say no, that one I won't practice because now that is very difficult. So brother, that is not, we fool ourselves like that. So you can't be usurping and taking the money of your wife and so forth. So you should say, darling, you keep all your money and I will spend my money on you. So that is what Islam is teaching.
A sister says on a serious side, Ustad, if a husband insists harshly for this breast piercing, Ustad, or navel piercing, which a wife don't want to do it, And these issues cause problems in their relationship, Ustad.
All this is absolutely haram. Remember, I gave you one Quranic verse and one hadith, and many a time, and this morning also, and now also I mention it. When the Iblis, the Shaitan, was expelled from Jannah, and never will he see Jannah and paradise again, the Shaitan, the Iblis, then what happens is, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. He, the Iblis, the Shaitan, the chief Satan, he took an oath, I will command them, and they, human beings, will change the creation of Allah. So now make a belly piercing, breast piercing, and ear piercing. One you make is fine, now you make 3, 4, and all this type of thing. All this to imitate the culture of the West or the East, because they saw it on the TV, they saw it on the videos, on the pornography. So now they want to emulate that. They feel that this is good. So people who do this are cursed. So for you, the wives, you don't have to listen. And it's haram to listen to the husband in haram things. The hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asiyat al-khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation, whether it is husband, whether it is father, whether it is teacher, whether it is peer-sahib or whoever, that when it leads to a sin against the Creator. So you must remember the hadith, the authentic Mishkat Sharif, Mustafa Ahmad, various compilations. So for you, you don't listen to him on these issues here. Let him blow his gasket also, it doesn't matter.
Someone says, Mufti Sahib Muhammad, my hubby don't want me to listen to the Bliss of Marriage anymore because you hit the nail on the head. How can I convince him to listen, Ustad?
So you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّ. Speak the truth even though the truth is bitter. So the hadith is authentic in Mustafa Ahmad. Tell your hubby that he is just now being, you know, that sarcastic or trying to be funny with you. That is what is good you don't want to accept. And that what is haram you want to accept. Quran Kareem Surah 103. Who are the people who will be successful? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who possess true iman, they do the righteous deeds and actions, speak the correct things. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They invite the people towards the truth. We don't have to apologize for Islam. We don't have to dilute Islam. We don't have to compromise with Islam. We have to teach Islam to the Muslims and educate them and take the pure, pristine Islam and propagate it to the non-Muslims. But when the non-Muslim, when a Muslim himself, he says, no, I don't want to hear. So that is the sign of their pride and arrogance. وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And you must exercise patience, because when you speak the truth, then there will be criticism as well.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, anonymous brother says that community of property in Islam, is it chaiz or not? And he says to somebody, what can I drown my wife and claim from her life policy to pay our debts? I know somebody who did this, Ustad.
So remember, it's three-part question. Number one, community of property is not permissible. So when you get married and now you have to register your marriage, so your nikah is performed in the masjid, but till today, 25, 26 years in democracy, our marriages are still not recognized by the government, right? So remember, now you want to register it as a civil marriage, so you go and register it ANC. Nothing to do with a political party or government. ANC, anti-nuptial contract. Anti-nuptial contract without excluding the accrual system. So remember all these words. When you register ANC, anti-nuptial contract, what is yours is yours, what is your wife's is your wife's, and without excluding the accrual system. What is the benefit of it? You draw up an Islamic world, so everything is fine, and remember, no one will be able to contest it and so forth. So that's one. Number two, to go drown your wife, shoot your wife, all that for insurance policy, all haram, you go straight to hell and you stay in hell forever, for a very long time. وَمَنْ يَقْدُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتْعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala's wrath, Allah's curse, Allah's punishment is on that person. He stays in Jahannam very, very, very long time. And then that insurance money also is haram, life insurance. burdens is haram. So see from where to where, khasirat dunya wal akhirah. Why you want to live a life beyond your income? We just want to show off. So now we get caught up in the debt trap. You know, this morning, subhanallah, I think over 10 people sent me from different places and countries regarding the 5G. That they're saying that you must listen to this one person speaking is about 27, 28 minutes. I heard half of it or so. It's very interesting. He says that this coronavirus is to shatter the economies of the world, to take people further away from the masjid and places of worship, and therefore they shut down. And remember that the first thing they're going to do, they will say they found a vaccine, and then they're going to make this vaccine compulsory. And that vaccine contains toxins. You must remember haram things. Like the last time I told you that it's haram to give your children vaccine. It contains pork. You see, this is how they work. So remember that these type of things there, they will tell you it's mandatory, compulsory. Then a chip will come. Then all your movements, they can monitor it. Then you won't be able to buy and sell anything without the chip. So all this is the satanic activities going on. But we believe in Almighty Allah, wa makaru wa makarallah. They plot and plan, and Almighty Allah has His divine master plan. Wallahu khairul makirin. Almighty Allah is the best of planners. So many times they plan 9/11, more people embrace Islam. So you might, even now, let them plan. You will see what will happen, that people will embrace Islam in their thousands and millions, because now they found the true taste that what Islam is saying, no parties, no clubs, no brothels, no alders, and all these things. Now alders are forced to close, so you find more peace, more tranquility, more rahmah, mercy, and so forth. So people have a taste of it, although it's against their desires, but that is how they will understand the consequences, and the long term, it's something better for them.
Allahu Akbar. Asikari Sahib from Falkner says, Bilkul Mufti Sahib, Sahi Baat Hai, Maine Suna, he says he also heard Ustad.
Right, MashaAllah, dua farmai.
The sister says, Ustad, regarding that double standard, she says, if I tell him the truth, he says he is leaving, Ustad.
So let him leave. So you must remember, he'll come back very, very quickly. Who's going to cook for him? Who will do everything for him? So that is just how they try to threaten you. You must remember this type of things. So tell him, go leave. The police will lock him up for walking around nowadays. So you must remember this type of things. So this is just idle threats. You understood? So you must remember this type of things that you must read, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes, and inshallah things will come right.
The brother says here, please Mulan Arafat, say the question as I post it to you. It says here, anonymous brother, talaq with indirect words and no intention of divorce. Could you please explain, anonymous brother Ustad?
We don't know what are the words you use. So you must remember, if you told your wife talaq, then remember the talaq takes place. That is clear cut, direct words. If you told your wife, you know, F and B and so forth, you told her get out, and you told her go to your mother's place and all these type of things. So if you use words like that, and you made intention of talaq, then one talaq, a buy-in, irrevocable divorce will take place. And remember, if you want to reconcile, then remember, a new nikah is required, provided that before you didn't give talaq already. So this is the first time you are giving. If you gave two talaqs already, then this becomes the third talaq. You can't reconcile. So you must remember, so all these are the ramifications and consequences. You need to ask yourself, my brother, and if you are honest to yourself, because look at the consequences. When you uttered all those words, and you were angry, obviously, so did you make intention of talaq, then the talaq is valid. You did not make intention of talaq, then remember the nikah is valid. Third one is this, that you're not sure and so forth, so remember that you must ask istifti nafsak. Because if you made intention and now you're trying to cover it up, so you're staying with your wife, your children, the next children, the next child children that will come, will be harami children according to Islam, because deep down you knew that you made intention of talaq, but you tried to camouflage it, you tried to look for loopholes and so forth. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Wa'bisa radiallahu anhu, istafti nafsak, istafti qalbak, wa in aftaka nas. Ask your own heart, ask your own conscience, even though the ulama, they give you fatawa and verdicts and so forth. Hadith is authentic in Musnad Ahmad. So that is my advice to you, brother. You wanted Mauna Arafat to ask directly, that is a direct answer and response to your query.
Gee, Ustad, I did give a talaq, but no intention. In argument, he said, you give me talaq, give me. I said, yes, talaq, but my intention was not for divorce, Ustad.
Remember, that doesn't mean anything. The talaq is valid. If you gave her one, is one. If you gave her two, is two. If you gave her three, is three. All that I did not make intention doesn't mean anything. You uttered the word talaq or you wrote it down. Remember, the talaq is valid.
Mm. Ustad, a minute left, inshallah, for the news.
Remember that, inshallah, we go for the news now. Inshallah, brother Yusuf Ali will render the news. And thereafter, inshallah, Aziz, our brother Alpha Sinkosi will bring you up to speed with the current affairs, what's happening locally, nationally, internationally. 1 o'clock will be the Zohar Azan, inshallah. And 5 past 1, 2 past 1 will be, inshallah, Surah Al-Fil. Yesterday we discussed verse number 1, so today we'll discuss verses 2 and 3 regarding Surah Al-Fil, the elephant. And thereafter, 1:30 to 2, inshallah, Surah Yusuf, and then we continue with verse number 7. 2 to 3, Sheikh Zakaria, in the mercy of Allah. 3 to half past 3, the repeat of this morning's program, the Q&A, in the morning, which we have, alhamdulillah, Ahmad Mauna Arafat, and half past 3 to half past 5, Brother Alameen Templeton, business, and all the things happening in the global scenes, you know, our dollar and rand and all this crashing, and the oil price and many other things. So 5:30 to 7, Mauna Khalid Yaqub, inshallah, from the Durban studio. 7 to half past 7, the repeat of today's tafsir. Half past 7 to 8, inshallah, will be Mauna Yunus Patel, rahimullah's advices. 8 to 9 today will be Tech Watch with Brother Maulana Bilal Katrada. And 9 to 9:30 tonight, inshallah, Mauna Muaz Bayat with Tasawwuf and Tazkiyah. Wonderful lineup. Make dua for us. Make dua for our beloved country, South Africa. And make dua for the Ummah at large. May Almighty Allah protect us all and guide us all. Jazakallah khair to our brother Lukolo, Mauna Arafat, and the entire team, and the brother Yusuf Asmal, there in the Sirius FM studios. Jazakallah khair and salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Yusuf Ali.